This is the Complete Shooter Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Armistead, and the founder of Complete Shooter himself, Kirk Miles. Complete Shooter is dedicated to helping young players reach the next level and achieve all of their basketball dreams. So if you want to know what it takes to be a great player at the high school, college, and professional level, you are in the right place. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our podcast. We have a really good topic today. We are talking about the difference between men's and women's basketball and kind of how it's evolved and kind of where it's at now and where we see it going. As always, I have Kirk here with me, and he's a really good person to have today because he has coached a lot of women's basketball and a lot of young men as well. So he's got a lot of knowledge in the differences between how you coach the two different types of players and kind of how they learn and all that good stuff. So excited to have you here, Kirk, and we got a good topic today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good topic to address. You know, you look at basketball out there, and it used to be, I know when I was in high school, it was primarily, I graduated in 1975, so that was a long time ago, but it was mostly a boys, men's sport. I know our high school had a girls' team. I don't know if they had very many people even come watch other than maybe parents, right? It just wasn't a big thing back then. But that's totally changed. I'll just give you an example. On Tuesday, I went to watch the Morgan girls play. They were playing LCA. LCA has a lot of international kids that have come into that school and are playing at that school. And very good players, very solid, fundamentally sound players. And they were playing Morgan, and they were playing for pretty much the region championship. And that gym was packed. And so just the fact of the amount of people that go watch a girls' game in the past versus a girls' game today has really changed. And girls are much more skilled now than what they used to be. A lot of them are in training. A lot of them are working on their craft and their skills. And that was, the score of that game was, I believe it was 67-62. So there's a 5-point difference, and that game was, within 2 to 3 points the whole game. It was a very entertaining game to watch and to see the skills and the improvement that's been made. Now, I will say that the differences between girl basketball and men's basketball can be summed up in a couple words. I think that girl basketball is more of a finesse game, while boys basketball and men's basketball is more of a power game. And so I think if you're looking for the differences, that's the differences. So those two teams have to be coached differently, right? Now, I can tell you that the one thing that I would always say to my girls' teams, I coach at the high school level, varsity coach for girls, and the very first time I would meet with them and talk with them and have a team meeting, this was the thing I said every year. I said to them, I said, I don't look at you as girls. I look at you as athletes. And in my opinion, the athlete's heart is the same whether it's a boy or a girl. So I'm going to coach your heart. I'm not going to coach your gender, whether you're a boy or a girl. I'm going to treat you like an athlete. I'm going to work on your mental toughness like an athlete needs to have, right? So that's how I would start out every year, helping the girls understand that they're athletes and they're going to be coached like athletes. They're not going to be coached like girls. Where some coaches go in there and maybe they're a little softer, because they're girls. And I don't think that makes the girls better. So, you know, that'd be the thing that I would say every year was, you know, I'm coaching athletes. I'm not coaching girls. So, and then I treat them like that all year. Yeah. I treat them like athletes.
And it's the same thing like within genders too, right? I mean, you don't train a 6'11 kid the same as you would train a 5'10 kid.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's differences athletically and intellectually, right? Everybody's different. So it's kind of the same difference, right?
Yeah. The other thing that I tried to do, because back when I was coaching girls a lot, pretty much in the 90s and the early 2000s, is when I was coaching at the high school level, and I identified that back then, now things have changed now, but back then didn't have great skill level. Wasn't a lot of girls out there doing training and working on getting better. And so the thing that I looked at is, okay, that means that I got to keep the girls out of the half court offense as much as possible. So I just put in, we had five different presses, and we'd work, we'd do a 1-2-1-1 press, and we'd just pound on it, pound on it, pound on it. As soon as the other coach called a timeout to get the girls set up better. And we worked on these presses all the time, because I knew we had to score that way. We had to get easy baskets, because if we got put in the half court, we weren't going to be as effective. In fact, my offense in the half court was hurry up and shoot it before there's a turnover, right? I mean, it was like try to get a shot up quick, because if you're in the half court, you're going to end up with turnovers. That's just where they were back then. Not now, but back then. So we'd do a 1-2-1-1 press, and I called it Red 12. And the girls just got so good at it. And then as soon as the coach called a timeout, I'd switch to a different press. Like I'd go to a 1-3-1 half-court trap, right? So I'd do that so that he'd just wasted his timeout, because now they're coming out and we're going to run something different. So I just had enough presses that I changed all during the game whenever there was a timeout and they were trying to solve this problem. You know, I'd make a strategic move, and it just kept the other teams at bay. It just kept them, you know, and so with girls, that's what you could get away with. Now with boys, boys handled the ball better back then, and so trying to put a press on boys would sometimes work, but if they had good guards, the press wouldn't work. And they'd usually break the press and score, right? And so that was the big difference back then. Now, I'll just use this game I went to the other night. Morgan, who is where I coached, and it's where I live. And so I went and watched that game. And we train a bunch of girls that go to Morgan. So I go to as many of those games as I can. And Morgan was pressing. They pressed the whole game. Sometimes it was a soft press. Sometimes it was a hard press. Sometimes it just – and, you know, when you press like that, then it's an irritation to the other team. And they might handle that really good, you know, for two quarters, three quarters. But there's going to be a time in there that there's a meltdown.
Right.
And they fall apart, and you get three quick baskets or two quick baskets, right? And so they pressed the whole game. And so sometimes, like I said, it was a soft press, sometimes a hard press. But those girls were very, very, very effective at all the different defenses that they ran. And I think defensively, girls and boys can be about have the same effectiveness. It's on the offensive end that it usually shows up the big difference, yeah. because if they don't put the time in on the skills, they're not going to be good at the half court. Yeah. And boys are better at the half court. So that's one of the big differences.
Yeah, for me, kind of like you said, it's mostly on the offensive end. And I think it's, like, from growing up and from what I've watched, girls just always seem to be a little more stiff when mm-hmm. they were handling the ball, especially.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of the focus was a little more don't lose the ball as mm-hmm. opposed to make a move and score.
Yeah.
Right? It was more of running through the offense.
It was defensive, yeah. defensive ball handling instead yeah. of offensive
yeah.
ball handling.
Yeah, yeah. But more and more I'm starting to see girls players that are popping up at different schools that just move differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it's because they've put so much time into their skills and being aggressive, and being individually effective as opposed to trying to fit into a team scheme where they're just passing and trying to find a shot.
Yeah.
And there's just some players that I've seen this year that look completely different than every other girl on the floor. They just know how to move. They know what they're doing. They're not worried about the ball getting lost. And so I think, like we talked about, like back when you were growing up, girls basketball wasn't a big thing, but it's quickly catching up, I think.
Yeah. And you can go to a game today and just be, you know, there's not a lot of turnovers, they take care of the basketball. So it can be a very entertaining game because of that.
Yeah, and I think Steph Curry's kind of opened the door for girls basketball to get a little more exciting as well. Do you follow college basketball at all?
A little bit.
Do you know who Caitlin Clark is?
I do.
At mm-hmm. Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's pulling up from the logo now, and it's pretty incredible and make, like, super, super interesting to watch her play. And Paige Becker is at UConn. Brianna Stewart before her at UConn. Right, all these players are just
shooters.
Yeah, shooters. They can handle it. They just move.
And deep. They're shooting deep. Even the game I went to the other night, the high school girls were way behind the 3-point line when they'd put them up. And they were good. They're good shooters. There's a bunch of good shooters on those two teams. And there are a lot of threes made in that game. So, yeah, that skill level is just really increasing and coming up. And that kind of bodes well for our business, you know, because we're shooting coaches. And so being able to get girls in training with us, and, you know, I find that girls that are training today with us come, and they come with the right attitude, and they come to get better, and they come to work hard. Is that what you've noticed?
Yeah. Yeah. Girls are usually a little more willing to listen and incorporate feedback than guys.
Yeah, there's not as much ego
yeah.
there. And sometimes boys are a little more resistant. Girls are more like what I would call a sponge.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just wanting to get better.
Yeah. Just wanting to get better. And I think, again, everybody's different, so we're talking generally, but
yeah,
generally boys have a little more ego, so it's a little bit harder for them to listen. Again, there's some kids that just soak everything up still, but they're always willing to be, like, really intense and competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And from the girls I've trained, most of them are very willing to listen, but much less competitive and intense.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's just generally speaking. But
probably has to do a little bit with that testosterone,
yeah,
you know, that's in guys that makes them a little bit more aggressive. But that's not to say that girls basketball can be very, very aggressive,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
And they can be very, it's just in how they're trained and how they're coached. And, you know, I love the girls that came and played with me that were like soccer players. Because they could run the whole game.
Yeah.
right? And they never got tired. And they understood angles. So when they came and played, they may not have been very good with their hands because they always play with their feet, right?
Yeah.
They might not have had all the skills, but if you're running full court presses and all that kind of stuff, then it bodes really well for those kids because all they got to get real good at is layups. But you know, just some of the girls that I had play for me, and if I told them, look, that post player doesn't touch the ball, it'd be amazing what those girls would do to make sure that girl didn't touch the ball. So I think it has to do with how they're coached, how they're trained, and if they're looked at as athletes instead of girls, then I think you're going to get the very most out of coaching girls.
Yeah. And again, I think it's girls basketball is behind, and so it's not as exciting or interesting maybe at this point, but I think that's just because it hasn't been a focus for as long.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So now you're saying girls basketball was a thing, but it wasn't necessarily huge. And I don't know if they'll ever catch up to boys basketball as far as interest. There's just something about dunking the ball that is always exciting. But I think it's definitely gaining popularity. And I think for a long time, basketball was kind of a side sport, right? You'd have girls that were focused on volleyball or soccer or softball.
Right.
And then basketball was kind of a side thing that was fun, and they could be pretty good at it and play another sport. But I think now you're starting to see a lot of girls that are basketball only. Like, that's the focus, and I think that's where things are going to start to change, and you're going to see a lot more of those players like Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark that are showing up.
Yeah. I think that the college game has improved, and the scholarships that girls can get at the college level has increased. And so there's as much opportunity for girls as far as getting to college and playing and getting a scholarship. There's a lot of opportunities out there for girls to be able to play college ball. So because of that, I think you have a lot of kids that are chasing scholarships, that are working hard because they want to go play college ball. And so you see that happening more. So that's just going to make so that, you know, it's a kind of thing where girls are going to work harder. I tell girls all the time, I say, look, listen to me here. I've always lived by a saying that says, observe the masses and do the opposite, right? You've heard me say that before. Yep. But it really applies here because I tell girls all the time, look, you're in a really cool situation because girls traditionally won't do individual workouts.
Yep.
They're social. They like to be around other girls. They like to be associated with other girls. And to go to the gym by yourself and do an individual workout, you don't see very many girls that do that. So I tell the girls that we train, I say, listen, you have an advantage here. If you'll do 3 to 5 individual workouts per week off the stuff that we give you, you're gonna really make a big spread between you and the next best player. Because most girls will not go do individual workouts. So if you sell out to individual workouts, you're going to be doing something that your competitors are not doing. And so that's how you get that big spread. That's how you just shine when you go on the court. It's obvious who the best player on the floor is, right? And so if you buy into doing individual workouts, then it's going to be incredible what happens to your game and what happens to you personally for recognition, for scholarships, everything else. But whereas boys, it's kind of like, I'll talk to people on the phone, getting them signed up to come train with us. And when I have parents say to me, I'll say, well, tell me about your son or your daughter. Tell me about them. Are they the kind of kid that just loves to go out and shoot hoop? And they'll go out there every day and just shoot hoop and just be out on the court and just be working on their game? Or are they the kind of kid that, you know, only goes and plays when there's practice or when there's a game? Tell me a little bit about your kid. And when parents say, oh, we can't get him off the court, he's out there 24/7 and just shooting and shooting and shooting every day. So I tell parents, I say, you know what? That's the kid we're looking for, is a kid that loves to do that. I hardly ever hear a parent say that about a girl. Oh, my daughter's always out there. She loves being out. I don't hear that. So I don't see that most girls do individual workouts where boys do. So that's a major difference between the two. But if girls will buy into it and go do their workouts, their individual workouts, they're gonna be the girls that get the scholarships, is the girls that do individual workouts.
For sure. And again, I think right now girls can separate themselves by doing that. In 10, 15 years, it might be to the point where that's not going to be enough anymore, right? Just like I'm sure with men's basketball, boys' basketball in the 60s, 70s, you didn't have to spend as much time practicing and working on your skills as opposed to today, where it's you can work every day and do a couple workouts a day and still not make it to the NBA.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think girls basketball is on its way to kind of being there to where it's not just going to be enough to play on the team and work out every once in a while. Eventually it's not going to be enough to work out every day. Eventually it's going to be skills, team, athletic performance for basketball.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example of what you're exactly talking about, Jesse, and that is I had this family that lived a couple houses from us when I was raising my family, and they had 10 kids. We had 6 kids. They just were against their kids doing any organized sports. Now, if they wanted to go out and work on basketball and play basketball out, you know, in the yard or where the driveway, they had no issues with that. But they would not get their kids into organized basketball. And a lot of it had to do with it's expensive when you got 10 kids.
Yeah.
You got them all playing, and you do this for one, then you got to do it for all. So it had a little bit to do with the economics of their family. So I get that. But their kids never did anything. Okay, the point I'm going to make here is that none. They had 4 boys, 6 girls. None of their boys played high school basketball. Their daughters, they didn't even really start playing much basketball. They might have got to start playing like in 8th grade so they could get ready for high school. That I saw that kind of happen. But all the girls, all but one, played high school basketball. The point is that the girls, their girls were very athletic. All their kids were very athletic, the boys and the girls. They were just, they had speed, quickness. They were athletic. With the boys' side, the reason they didn't make high school is because kids start playing ball. Boys start playing ball, serious ball, in the 3rd grade.
Yeah.
And a boy cannot make up for that lost time. An athletic girl could still make up for that lost time by being athletic and stepping in there and then starting to learn the game and play the game. And they were still a little bit, they were still behind, but because they were athletic, they all played.
Right.
And they all, most all of them were starters. I coached some of them at the high school level. And they were great players, but they didn't do anything when they were younger, right? On the girls' side and on the boys' side, boys didn't play high school basketball. All but one of the girls played high school basketball. Now, if you look at it, that's kind of changed because the skill level of girls has increased. So I tell people this: if you want to play high school basketball, you have to play 2 games a week. Comp ball, not rec ball, comp ball, 2 games a week, 1 practice a week, and then spend the rest of the time in doing individual workouts, right? If you do that, you'll make high school basketball team. Not only will you make a high school basketball team, you'll be an impact player on a high school basketball team, okay? Now, with girls, they don't necessarily need to start in the third grade, but they have to now start in the fifth grade. If they'll start in the fifth grade playing comp ball 2 times a week, practice them once a week, and then doing individual workouts, they'll be an impact high school player. So it's changed. You know, it's really changed over the time. So girls are now having to start a little bit earlier. They're having to get more competitive. They're having to get, you know, they're having to play and train, where in the past maybe they just played. In some cases, they didn't play till high school. But those days are kind of behind us now. And so girls have got to get a lot more serious if they're going to be an impact player on a high school team.
Yeah. Makes me think of, like, investing. Like, you know, if you look back now and you're like, well, if I invested in Apple, like, before it got big, right, I would have so much money right now. As opposed to investing in Apple right now, right, you could still make money, but it would be less, right? So right now for girls basketball, I think is that time where if you invest right now, then in the future it's going to make you maybe, I don't know, a lot of money maybe. WNBA might get there, but scholarships, right? It's going to take you a lot of places if you invest right now.
Yeah, it'll pay great dividends later. Yeah. Right? So it's different now than what it used to be. So, you know, there's a lot of difference between girl basketball and boy basketball, but the gap is kind of closing on those differences. You know, it's getting closer and closer to being the same. It'll always be a finesse game with girls, so they got to be more skilled than boys because boys' game's going to be more athletic. It's going to be more of a power game, and those differences are going to pretty much always be there. Yeah. You know, you don't see a lot of girls in the WNBA dunking the ball, you know, and because of that, it's more of a finesse game, and you see – in college, almost every player on the floor has the ability to dunk the ball.
Yep.
So it's just a different game that way, and just the difference between men and women make it that way. But that doesn't mean that it can't be, you know, as entertaining to watch.
Right.
You know, for the basketball purist, they're going to enjoy the girl game, a good girl game, more than a boy game because it is finesse. You know. So I think that there's, you know, there's those differences, but at the same time, that gap is closing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think in both, if you can shoot and you can play defense, you're going to be successful. Right.
So just like with boys, you know, if you're a shooter and a scorer, the coach can't afford to have you on the bench.
Yep.
Same thing with girls. If you're a shooter, if you're a scorer, the coach can't afford to have you on the bench. You need to play. And defense, everybody can play defense because that's just heart and hustle.
Yep.
You just, that's just a decision that you got to make.
Yep. If you're not big enough to block, you can take charges.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So it's just heart and hustle.
Yeah. So like we talked about, I think the gap is closing. I think the training environment is getting more similar to where it's a little more intense, a little bit less about having fun and about getting better, right? And so I think it's still, again, always going to be different, but getting closer and closer to being the same.
Yeah, and I think the way that that coaches coach girls has changed over the years than what it used to be. So I think more and more coaches are coaching girls like athletes and not like girls. So I think you see that a lot, and I think that's another reason why that gap is closing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's obviously still some coaches that don't understand that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to be too critical because I haven't coached teams before.
Yeah.
But there's some times where I'm like, you're not letting them do what they can do.
Yeah.
Right? You're, and same goes for some boys teams as well.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have the control freak coach that just has to control everything and doesn't let the kids play free. And that's just a personality thing with that coach, is that his personality is more of a control type guy. And so that's how they're going to coach. And, you know, you got to be true to yourself, right? If that's how you are and you want to be that person, then be true to yourself and be that way. But kids are always going to have a lot more fun when there's freedom,
yep.
Right? When they're free to pull the trigger and shoot the ball. So we talked about that last week, was, you know, what's a good shot? You know, and the definition of bad shot. And if kids understand that, then they understand that and have freedom, then, you know, it's a big deal. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I'm excited for all the girls I have. I have a bunch of ninth grade girls that are getting good varsity minutes this year. And I have younger girls that are going to be doing the same thing. And so it's fun to see, like, again, feel like there's going to be a jump where just all of a sudden all girls players are going to be at another level that we didn't see coming, because we have this wave of people that are committed to the training and just going to kind of come out and kind of dominate.
Yeah, and how fun is that for us as shooting coaches and trainers to, now that the girl game is where it's at, it gives us double the opportunity to train kids. Instead of just training boys, we're training boys and girls. And I see in our company, we're probably at about a 60-40 split. Probably 60% of the kids we train are boys, and probably 40% now are girls. Whereas when I started the company, you know, 13 years ago, it was like maybe a 70-30. 80-20 that girls were diving into training. So what a great opportunity for us as shooting coaches and trainers to double our clientele, because now as many girls are coming to train almost as what boys are.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's exciting. I'm excited about it. And again, like for my personality, I like training girls better, because then I don't have to be energetic. They bring the energy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Boys are a little more serious, and I feel more pressure to be funnier.
Yeah.
I'm not super great at that, but yeah. Girls make it really easy, and I can just sit there and laugh, and they'll keep going.
Yeah.
And making jokes and enjoying it. So, and again, I like training boys for different purposes, right? More intensity,
right.
All that good stuff. So everybody's different, but again, training is just a really fun environment. A little less pressure than game situations, and
yep.
All about getting better instead of getting results.
Yeah, and where we train, where we train only two kids at a time maximum. I mean, sometimes we'll put more in the gym with different kind of things, but most of the time we're training maximum two kids. You can really get to know these kids and really build a relationship with them. And sometimes it's easier to build a relationship with the girl. Right, being a guy, there's just a good connection there. So with guys, sometimes that's a little bit tougher, because guys don't open up as much.
Yep.
Girls are more of an open book, right? And so it's easier to kind of deal with that. Yep. But
guys are always trying to compete. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know,
quit talking. Let me do it.
Yeah. So, anyways. Any last thoughts on kind of this topic and what we've been talking about?
Yeah, I just think that there's just multiple opportunities out there for kids. And I think that whether you've got a son or you got a daughter, I liked being involved in basketball with my kids. I had four boys, two girls, and typically, sometimes dads can't find a common denominator. I mean, if you basically put it down to this, you want to have influence on your kids. You want to be able to have influence on your kids. But in order to have influence on your kids, you got to have a relationship with your kids. The greater the relationship, the more influence. It's that simple. So how do you build a relationship? Well, you find a common denominator. So if you find a common denominator, like for me, it was basketball. I love basketball. I started my girls out playing basketball. My girls learned to love basketball like I love basketball. So there was the common denominator, right? That helped us build a great relationship with each other. And that relationship helped me have influence. And I think that's the key to raising kids is those three steps, right? And so finding that, I don't care if it's common denominator in music or whatever right. It is, but finding a common denominator will help you build a relationship, and then that relationship will allow you to have influence. So it's the same kind of thing as us as trainers with the kids we're working with. You know, we have a common denominator, yep. Right? So we can build a relationship with them. And if we have a relationship, the greater the relationship, the greater the influence. And so it's the same principle, whether it's your kid or whether you're training somebody. But if you buy into that principle, then that's gonna help. You know, the relationship I have with my daughters today and my sons is incredible, you know, because of that base was built. So I think that's a key thing as you're raising kids or you're training or whatever, is to focus on those basic principles.
Yeah, and you can do that without becoming the crazy basketball parent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So, again, I think this is a really good topic. I think I'm really excited for the girls' game to start catching up, and it's getting there closer and closer, and the guys' game just keeps moving forward as well. We'll see what – I'm interested to see how one-leg shots start coming into play.
Yeah.
So not floaters, but one-leg shots and threes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that might be the next new innovation.
You see more and more of that, don't you?
Yeah. So.
And this is an exciting time because we're moving into the state tournaments.
Yep.
The high school state tournaments are 2 weeks away, 2 to 3 weeks away, depending on whether you're 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, yep. 5A, 6A.
Is that a senior night last night?
Yeah. So 2 to 3 weeks away we'll be cutting down some nets. Some teams will be cutting down some nets, and it's an exciting time of the year. So. And both on the boys' side and the girls' side. Excited.
Yep. So. Super, super pumped. So, and I can't remember, were people allowed to go watch the state tournament last year?
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, because I went to the state tournament.
Yeah,
okay. Had to wear a mask, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so should be full crowds again, I think, this
year.
Yeah,
so fun.
So we'll be super, super exciting. So if you're listening and you think we missed something about the difference between guys and girls basketball, let us know. We love chatting about it, and we have no preference over who we train as well. Like Kirk
right
was
on.
Talking about, we care about an athlete that cares.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't matter who it is. So love training anybody. Excited for both games to keep growing. Love basketball, and life is just good.
Yep, life is good.
Yep. So let us know. We'd love to talk to you. Thanks again, Kirk, for being here and all your knowledge. And we'll catch y'all later.
Okay, thanks.